Han er her jo hver gang vi samles.
But I am a little bit extra optimistic today for some reason.
Men i dag er jeg en eller anden grund lidt ekstra optimistisk.
I just believe that something great is going to happen.
Jeg tror på at der vil ske noget stort.
You know, I believe we have a lot of great help as human beings.
Jeg tror på at vi får en masse hjælp som mennesker.
We have wonderful doctors.
Vi har vidunderlige læger.
I am very thankful for my Christian psychologist.
Jeg er meget taknemmelig for min kristne psykolog.
But you know what I believe?
Men ved hvad jeg tror på?
Will happen today is that the Holy Spirit will come.
Jeg tror på at Helligånden kommer i dag.
And just do some therapy and some transformation on our hearts.
Og den vil give noget transformation og noget terapi i vores hjerter.
Is anybody else up for that this morning?
Amen for that.
Good. Woo, great. Amen. Before I go any further though.
Men før jeg bevæger mig videre.
It is my duty.
Så er det min store pligt.
As the national youth leader.
Som den nationale ungdomsleder.
To tell you about an event that's coming up in a very short while.
Og fortælle jer om en begivenhed der sker snart.
Now I know we've talked a bit about summer camp that's happening in Kolding.
Ja, vi har snakket lidt om summer camp i Kolding.
But at the exact same time we are having Axe Generation Summer.
Men på samme tidspunkt har vi Axe Generations Summer.
And you'll see a video at the end of the service about that.
Og til sidst skal vi se en video om den.
But if you are a teenager, we have Landslejr for you.
Og hvis du er teenager, så har vi Landslejr til dig.
And if you are 17 plus, then we have Young Street.
Ja, der er Young Street til jer over 17.
And it's just a brilliant program we have lined up this year.
Og det er simpelthen sådan et godt program, der er klart i år.
So if you know anybody who would benefit from being at the greatest camp in the history of the universe.
Så kender du nogen, der vil have glæde af at være med på universets bedste lejr?
Do what you can to let them know what's happening.
Så fortæl dem, hvad der foregår.
And you can do that actually if you go to axeacademy.dk. There's a bunch of information on there.
Ja, I kan gå ind på axeacademy.dk og finde flere oplysninger.
And there's 1 week left to register, so.
Ja, der er en uge tilbage, hvor tilmeldingen er åben.
It's worth getting some gas on. That's actually not. Getting gas.
Ja.
Great. All right, so let's get into this message.
Ja, vi må hellere komme i gang.
Has anybody read the story of Lazarus recently?
Er der nogen af jer, der har læst historien om Lazarus for nylig?
Let's see.
Der var en præst, der havde gjort det, var godt, Jeppe.
Yeah, Jeppe preached on Lazarus last week in Valby, apparently.
Yeah, fordi Jeppe han prædikede om Lazarus sidste uge i Valby.
I wasn't there, so I promise you, I have not copied him.
Jeg var der ikke, jeg lover, jeg har ikke kopieret ham.
If I was smart, I would actually do that.
Det havde jeg gjort, hvis jeg var lidt smart.
But you know, I'd like to read the whole story for you this morning, but it's 44 verses.
Altså, jeg vil jo gerne læse det hele for jer, men den er 44 vers.
And there is a lot in this story.
Og der står meget.
But you know, the weather's so good today, so I'm sure we all want to get outside in a hurry.
Men nu hvor vejret er så godt, så vil I jo alle sammen gerne hurtigt ud.
I'm being translated as well, so I will give an abridged version.
Ja, I får en forkortet version på grund af oversættelse.
But are you ready?
Er I klar?
Come on. All right. John chapter 11 verse 1.
Johannes 11 vers 1.
Says a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. And so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. You can take that part. Ja.
Der var en mand ved navn Lazarus, som boede i landsbyen Betania sammen med søstrene Maria og Martha. Det var den Maria, der er kendt for at have hældt kostbar olie ud over Jesu fødder og tørret dem med sit hår. Nu skete der det, at Lazarus blev alvorligt syg. De to søstre sendte derfor bud efter Jesus om, at hans gode ven Lazarus var meget syg. Da Jesus hørte det, sagde han, "Den sygdom ender ikke med døden, men Gud vil blive æret gennem det, der skal ske, og Guds søn vil også blive æret derved." Jesus holdt meget af Martha, Maria og Lazarus. Efter at have fået beskeden, blev han endnu 2 dage der, hvor han var. Ja, Men så sagde disciplen, kom, lad os gå tilbage til Judæa.
So we'll fast forward through the next chunk of scripture.
Ja, så vi spoler lige hurtigt hen over det næste stykke.
But there's some important things that happen in there too.
Der sker faktisk noget vigtigt.
So eventually, Jesus decides to go back to Judea.
Så Jesus han beslutter sig faktisk for at gå tilbage til Judæa.
And his disciples argue with him and try to tell him it's not a good idea.
Men disciplene, de prøver at diskutere det med ham og siger, ah, det er nok lidt farligt det her.
He says, look, actually guys, our friend Lazarus is dead.
Og Jesus han siger faktisk til dem, prøv at høre, vores ven Lazarus, han er død.
But I know what I'm doing.
Men jeg ved godt, hvad jeg har gang
i. Slapped away. And he arrives and he meets Martha and she says, where have you been?
Og da han kommer, så møder han Martha, og hun siger, hvor har du været?
Actually, she says, if you came earlier, he wouldn't have died.
Og faktisk så siger hun, hvis du bare var kommet lidt før, så var han ikke død.
And Jesus says, Lazarus will rise again.
Men Jesus han siger, Lazarus han vil opstå igen.
So she goes and gets Mary.
Så hun henter Maria.
And she arrives with a whole tribe of mourners.
Så hun kommer med sådan en hel gruppe af grædekoner.
And says the same thing. Where were you?
Og hun siger det samme.
If you'd only come earlier, he wouldn't have died.
Hvor var du? Var du bare kommet tidligere, så var han ikke død.
Now, can you imagine the atmosphere right there?
Prøv at forestille dig den atmosfære, der har været der.
That sounds pretty intense.
Den har været rimelig intens.
But let's drop into verse 33.
Men lad os prøve at dykke ind i vers nummer 33.
And it says this. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? Asked Jesus. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. I'll finish.
Okay. Da Jesus så hende græde og hørte de andres gråd, blev han heftigt oprørt i sin ånd og spurgte, hvor har I lagt ham? Herre, kom og se, lød svaret. Jesus brast i gråd.
The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out aloud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in headcloth, and Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go.
Se, hvor meget han holdt af Lazarus, var der nogen, der sagde. Men andre sagde, når han kunne helbrede en blind, kunne han så ikke også have forhindret denne mands død? Der blev Jesus igen oprørt i sit indre, og han gik hen mod gravstedet, som var en klippehule med en stor sten rullet for indgangen. Tag stenen bort, beordrede han. Herre, sagde Martha, det lugter ikke godt, for nu er det den fjerde dag, han ligger der. Jesus sagde, har jeg ikke sagt til dig, at hvis du tror, vil du få Guds forunderlige magt at se? Så rullede de stenen bort. Jesus så op mod himlen og sagde, jeg takker dig, far, fordi du har bønhørt mig. Jeg ved godt, at du altid hører mig, men jeg siger det for de menneskers skyld, der står her omkring mig, for at de kan komme til tro på dig, som har sendt mig. Så råbte han med høj røst, Lazarus, kom herud! Den døde kom ud med hænder og fødder viklet ind i ligklæder og med et tørklæde om ansigtet. Hjælp ham af med de ligklæder, sagde Jesus.
Let's pray.
Ja, lad os bede.
Thank you that you're here, God.
Tak fordi du er her, Herre.
Thank you that you always hear us.
Og tak fordi du altid lytter.
And amidst our averageness, God.
Og her midt i al vores middelmådighed.
You can do exceptional things.
Så kan du gøre forunderlige ting.
And God, I pray that you would reach into our hearts today.
Og jeg beder om, at du vil gribe ind i vores hjerter i dag.
God, you would soften them.
At du vil blødgøre dem.
Transform what needs to change.
Og forandre det, som skal ændres.
So that you will be glorified in and through us.
Så du må blive herliggjort i og igennem os.
Prepare the way for us, God.
Jeg forbereder en vej for os, Herre.
In Jesus' name.
Jesu navn.
Amen. I read that scripture and I can't help but feel how intense that experience would have been.
Da jeg læste det her skriftsted, så kunne jeg ikke undgå at føle indeni, hvor intens det her det må have været.
This one was a little different.
Den her.
This miracle was a little
different. Ja, det her mirakel, det var en lille smule anderledes.
Because for Jesus, it wasn't just any healing.
Ja, fordi for Jesus var det ikke bare en hvilken som helst helbredelse.
This was his dear friend.
Det var faktisk hans gode ven.
This was a friend to his disciples and the brother of Mary and Martha.
Det var en af disciplenes venner, det var Martha og Marias bror.
You know, I'm sure him and Lazarus were tight.
Jeg er sikker på, at Jesus og Lazarus har været tætte.
They probably played football together.
De har sikkert spillet fodbold sammen.
They maybe complained about inflation and their house prices together.
Og de har brokket sig sammen over inflationen og huspriser.
I bet you Lazarus liked to prank Jesus and would hide his sandals somewhere.
Og jeg er sikker på, at de har drillet hinanden og gemt hinandens sandaler.
You know, there's personality in this story.
Der er noget personlighed i den her historie.
There's only one other person in the Bible.
Faktisk er der kun en anden person i Bibelen.
That is directly called a friend of God, and that was Abraham.
Som direkte blev kaldt Guds ven, og det var Abraham.
Think about that.
Tænk lige over det.
This one is different.
Den her er anderledes.
And all along from the beginning.
Og helt fra begyndelsen af.
Jesus seemed pretty calm about the situation.
Så virkede Jesus faktisk rimelig afslappet i situationen.
Right from the beginning, Jesus was like, "No, this is going to be okay."
Helt fra starten så vidste Jesus godt, det her det skal nok gå.
But even Jesus found himself influenced by the mess of life.
Men selv Jesus han blev påvirket af livets omstændigheder.
And the title of my message today is called The Roller Coaster of Trust.
Ja, så jeg har kaldt mit budskab i dag tillidens rutsjebanetur.
Now in Australia we have a special relationship to theme parks.
Ja, i Australien der har vi sådan en særlig forhold til forlystelsesparker.
There's one other Australian in the room and you might have to ask him to verify this.
Der er en anden australier i rummet, så I må hellere få ham til at bekræfte.
Gives me the thumbs up.
Ja.
Do right, mate. When I was growing up, you know, there were these really exciting attractions.
Altså, da jeg voksede op, der var der de her rigtig fede attraktioner.
I've got some photos of them, right?
Der er lige nogle billeder.
If they're there. You see, down the road for me was this thing called the Big Pineapple.
Dernede var der den store ananas.
And then down the other, so to the south of where I lived, there was this attraction called the Big Banana.
Og lidt syd for, der var der en, der hed den store banan.
And that wasn't far from the Big Prawn either.
Og det var, lå faktisk ikke ret langt fra den store reje.
You see, that's what I grew up with.
Det voksede jeg op med.
We are wild.
Vi er ret vilde.
But luckily, in my teenage years, there was this movement that happened in the state of Queensland.
Men heldigvis, da jeg var teenager, så skete der den her bevægelse i Queensland.
Where on the Gold Coast, they decided to make it the mecca of theme parks.
Ja, de besluttede der langs Guldkysten, at det skulle være mecca for forlystelsesparker.
There's a photo of one of them there.
Der er et billede af en af dem.
All of a sudden, we had Dream World and Sea World.
Pludselig så havde vi alle dem, han siger.
Movie World, Wet and Wild, White Water World. All of that. Kangaroo World. No, I'm just kidding.
Og Kangaroo-land. Ej, det var bare for sjov.
And I'll never forget one of my first times going to Dream World.
Og jeg glemmer aldrig en af de første gange, jeg tog til Dream World.
I thought, I'm going to pick the scariest ride, and I'm going to go on it.
Jeg tænkte, nu tager jeg det vildeste, og jeg gør det.
Because I'm young, and I'm tough, and I can handle anything.
Jeg er ung og sej, jeg kan klare alt.
So I went, and I got on this ride called the Tower of Terror.
Så jeg tog op og så tog jeg op i rædslernes tårn.
And there's this thing on the Tower of Terror called the Giant Drop.
Og i det her rædslernes tårn der er der det store fald.
Now this isn't me, but this is a video of the Giant Drop.
Nu skal jeg prøve at se en video.
Good. You can hear them like, yeah. I tell you what, that was the first ride I went on.
Det var den første tur jeg prøvede.
And I was a mess for the rest of the day.
Og resten af dagen var jeg fuldstændig ødelagt.
I felt like all my internal organs were rearranged.
Jeg følte at alle mine organer havde byttet plads.
All of a sudden I didn't feel so tough anymore.
Og jeg følte mig faktisk ikke særlig sej længere.
Never again did I go near the Tower of Terror.
Jeg har aldrig været i nærheden af den siden.
But you know what? Sometimes that's a little bit of the experience we have when it comes to trusting God.
Men faktisk er det lidt den samme følelse man godt kan have når det handler om tillid til Gud.
Imagine being around Jesus.
Forestil dig at være sammen med Jesus.
Seeing all of the stuff that he does.
Du ser alt det han gør.
Knowing that he is God and that he can heal people.
Du ved han er Gud og han kan helbrede mennesker.
And then all of a sudden one of your close friends dies.
Men pludselig så dør en af dine nære venner.
And Jesus just camps out for two days. He gets sick, right? One of your friends gets sick.
Og ja, din ven han bliver syg.
And then Jesus is not in a hurry at all to do anything about it.
Og Jesus han har bare overhovedet ikke travlt med at gøre noget ved det.
How would you feel in that situation?
Hvordan vil du have det i den situation?
What would you be expecting Jesus to do?
Hvad vil du forvente at Jesus han skulle gøre?
I would be panicking.
Jeg vil gå i panik.
What are you doing, God?
Hvad laver du, Gud?
What's going on?
Hvad sker der?
Like I know you can do this.
Altså jeg ved du kan gøre det her.
Why are you just chilling for 2 days?
Hvorfor sidder du bare og slapper af i 2 dage?
Here comes an interesting dynamic.
Her er den her interessante dynamik.
Where we have these two words in Christianity.
Fordi vi har de her to ord i kristendommen.
Faith and trust.
Tro og tillid.
Now I'm not here to get picky with words or make wordplays.
Og nu er det ikke fordi jeg sådan skal grave ned i ordene og være kredsen omkring dem.
Because I know those two words are very hard to separate.
Fordi jeg ved godt de her to ord er meget svære at adskille.
But just because you have faith,
men bare fordi du har tro,
doesn't automatically mean that you trust.
Så mener det ikke at du også betyder det ikke at du også automatisk har tillid.
The Oxford definition of faith.
Oxford's definition på tro.
It says that it's complete trust or confidence in someone or something.
At det er fuldkommen tillid til nogen eller noget.
But the definition of trust is.
Men definitionen på tillid det er.
The firm belief in the reliability, truth or ability of someone or something.
Fast tro på pålideligheden, sandheden eller evnen hos nogen eller noget.
Isn't that interesting?
Er det ikke interessant?
Trusting is what we do because we have faith.
Vi stoler på, fordi vi har tro.
But we don't automatically trust when we have faith in God.
Men vi har ikke automatisk tillid, selvom vi har tro.
And I believe trust is something that again and again gets thrown around and tested throughout the course of our life.
Og jeg tror, at tillid er noget, der igen og igen og igen bliver testet i løbet af vores liv.
Very easily.
Og det er nemt.
And so just like Jeppe said before.
Fordi ligesom Jeppe han sagde før.
I have 3 points to share this morning.
Så har jeg 3 pointer her til morgen.
At least I'm predictable.
Jeg er det mindste forudsigelig.
The 3 stages on the roller coaster of trust.
Det er de 3 faser i tillidsrutsjebanen.
The first stage is what I call the buzz.
Jeg har kaldt den første fase for spændingen.
Who's ever been on a roller coaster before? Put your hand up.
Hvem har været på en rutsjebane før?
Now maybe you have a similar experience to me.
Så har I måske den samme oplevelse som mig.
A roller coaster looks great when you're on the ground.
At den ser rigtig fed ud når du står på jorden.
It's an exciting idea, right?
Ej, det er en fed idé.
Oh, that looks fun.
Det ser sjovt ud.
I can see all of the brakes on the wheels, and I can see the giant magnet, all the safety systems.
Ja, jeg kan se magneterne, og bremserne og alle sikkerhedssystemerne.
I can't wait to do this.
Jeg kan ikke vente.
It's such a good idea.
Ej, var det en god idé.
And a little bit, you know, I mean, Jesus never changed his position.
Altså, Jesus, han har aldrig ændret sin position.
But at the beginning of straight out of the gate when Lazarus got sick.
Men helt der til start med at Lazarus blev syg.
He was like, yeah, Lazarus' sickness, that's not going to end in death.
Så siger han, ja, men Lazarus' sygdom ender ikke med døden.
Now this is actually happening for the glory of God. You need to see this.
Det skal ske til Guds ære, og I har brug for at se det.
Straight away he knew this is fine.
Han vidste med det samme, det var fint nok.
And that's actually the experience a lot of us have when we get a word from God.
Og det er faktisk den oplevelse mange af os har når vi får et ord fra Gud.
Or when we discover God is real.
Og når vi oplever Gud, han findes.
God reaches into our world.
At Gud, han griber ind i vores verden.
We get a revelation of who he is.
Vi får en åbenbaring af, hvem han er.
And we're like, yeah, all right.
Og vi tænker, yes, yeah.
Everything's going to be fine.
Det skal nok gå.
Maybe you get a promise from God.
Måske så får du et løfte fra Gud.
Maybe it's the moment where you realize what you're put on earth to do.
Måske er det det øjeblik, hvor det går op for dig, hvorfor du er sat på jorden.
I'm here to change the world in Jesus' name.
Jeg er her for at ændre verden i Jesu navn.
The beginning is always the fun part.
Begyndelsen er altid det sjove.
I remember if maybe it was last year or I don't know when it was.
Jeg kan godt huske, det var sidste år eller hvornår det nu var.
Sufus and his friends decided they would embark on a Facebook challenge.
At Sofus og hans venner besluttede sig for at give
a Facebook challenge.
Ja, de lavede sådan en Facebook.
They are big fans of an American artist called Herbie Hancock.
Og de var store fans af en der hedder Herbie Hancock.
And you decided that you would play continuously online until he saw it and commented on it, right?
Og du ville spille uafbrudt indtil han fik øje på det og kommenterede det.
Now that's an exciting idea.
Ja, det var en ret spændende idé.
I would love to hear from my favorite musician.
Jeg gad da godt at høre fra min yndlingsmusiker.
How many hours did you guys play for straight? 32 and a half hours.
42 en halv time uafbrudt spillede
han. Straight. I bet the most exciting of those hours was right at the beginning, is it right?
Jeg tror nok det fedeste af de 42 timer det var starten.
Did I forget to mention it was the same song they played continually for 32 hours?
Glemte jeg nævne at det var den samme sang de spillede 42 timer.
Chameleon. I shouldn't do that, you'll get nightmares.
Ej, jeg skulle ikke have gjort den for han mareridt.
If you hear that. Something awesome about being at the beginning.
Der var noget spændende ved at være i starten.
I wish I could bottle that.
Jeg vil ønske at jeg kunne tage det og gemme det.
I love it when people discover Jesus for the first time.
Jeg elsker når mennesker oplever Jesus for første gang.
There's a freshness, there's a confidence and a courage in them.
Fordi der er en friskhed og en tillid og et mod i dem.
And I actually believe Jesus doesn't want us to let go of that.
Og jeg tror faktisk ikke at Jesus han ønsker at vi skal give slip på det.
He talks about it in another part of the Bible about having childlike faith.
Han nævner et andet sted i Bibelen at vi skal have en barnetro.
I want to be in that place.
Der vil jeg gerne være.
Again and again.
Igen og igen.
But the second stage of the roller coaster is this.
Anden fase af rutsjebaneturen
is the challenge.
Udfordringen.
It's always a great idea at the beginning.
Det er altid en god idé i starten.
Until you get into the first big loop.
Lige indtil du rammer første loop.
Or if you are at the top of the roller coaster.
Eller indtil du er helt oppe i toppen.
All of a sudden you get this feeling inside of you. I don't think this was a good idea.
Lige pludselig kan du bare godt mærke ind i, det her var måske ikke så god en idé.
I liked it when I was on the ground.
Det var fint, da jeg var nede på jorden.
But now I can't see any of the safety systems.
Men nu kan jeg ikke se nogen af sikkerhedssystemerne.
My big butt is sitting in this tiny chair and this little harness.
Jeg er spændt fast i det her lille bitte sæde med en lille rem.
And all I can think about is how far off the ground I am.
Og det eneste jeg kan tænke på, det er hvor langt der er ned.
I know that's a funny example.
Jeg ved det er et sådan lidt pudsigt eksempel.
But what about in life when things are going well?
Men hvad med i livet når ting går godt?
And then we get that one phone call that ruins it all.
Og så får vi det der telefonopkald der ødelægger det hele.
Or we get into that fight or that argument with the person we love.
Eller vi kommer op og skændes med det menneske vi elsker.
Or someone at work or church makes a decision that makes you angry.
Eller nogen på job eller i kirken tager en beslutning der gør dig vred.
You can't understand what's going on and it rattles you.
Du forstår ikke hvad der sker, det ryster dig.
Our trust gets challenged.
Vores tillid bliver udfordret.
And the thing is Jesus understands this well.
Det sjove er, at det her det forstår Jesus faktisk godt.
Because it said in verse 33.
Fordi han siger i vers 33.
When he saw Mary weeping and the other people wailing, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled.
For der står, da Jesus så hende græde og hørte de andres gråd, blev han heftigt oprørt i sin ånd.
That's a great picture for life.
Det er godt billede på livet.
We can be a super Christian that doesn't exist.
Vi kan være en superkristen, men det findes ikke.
We could be going so well.
Vi kan klare det så godt.
But no matter how strong we are.
Men uanset hvor stærk vi er.
No matter how well the first part of the ride goes.
uanset hvor godt den første del af turen går.
We can be rattled.
Så kan vi blive rystet.
Deeply troubled and influenced by the circumstances around us.
Og vi kan blive dybt involveret og påvirket af omstændighederne omkring os.
My amateur assessment of human nature is this.
Min amatøragtige udforskning af menneske
et eller andet. Yeah. Behavior.
Ja. Opførsel.
Opførsel. Yeah. The thing my kids don't do very well.
Det mine børn ikke er så gode til.
Marlene's shaking her head on the front. There's two levels of trust.
Der er to niveauer af tillid.
There's basic trust.
Der er den basale tillid.
That's the trust that you have where you assume the best of people.
Det er den du har når du forventer det bedste af folk.
You meet someone you've never met before. You know nothing about them.
Du møder en for første gang. Du ved ikke noget om vedkommende.
They haven't had a chance to disappoint you yet.
De har ikke haft en chance for at skuffe dig endnu.
And you just assume everything's okay.
Og du formoder at alt er godt.
I think that's at its clearest when you meet a doctor or you have to call the police or something like that.
Det viser sig jo særligt tydeligt, hvis du skal ringe til lægen eller politiet eller noget i den retning.
A basic level of trust.
Det er et basisniveau af
tillid. And then the second level is deep trust.
Det næste niveau, det er den dybe tillid.
And that's formed by time and experience.
Som formes af tid og erfaring.
You know, teams, you know, when they've been through a lot together, they have deep trust.
Ligesom når et hold har været meget igennem sammen, så har de dyb tillid til.
When they've won some battles and conquered some things.
Når de har vundet nogle ting og overvundet nogle ting.
A bit like the Danish national football team, there is deep trust.
Ligesom det danske landshold i fodbold, der er en dyb tillid.
Joachim Mæhle for next prime minister.
Joachim Mæhle for statsminister.
Yeah. As deep trust. But the thing is, when either of these two levels of trust are broken.
Men når et af de her niveauer af tillid bliver brudt.
That's where life gets hard.
Så er det livet, det bliver svært.
When deep trust is broken.
Når den dybe tillid bliver brudt.
That's when our life falls into some form of crisis.
Så er det, vi oplever en form for krise i vores liv.
That's when we feel betrayed and furious.
Vi føler os forrådt og rasende.
That can change the rest of your life forever.
Det kan faktisk ændre hele resten af dit liv.
When someone you deeply trusted betrays you.
Når en du havde dyb tillid til
bedrager dig. But even when basic trust is broken.
Men selv når den basale tillid den bliver brudt.
We can become just a little bit cynical.
Så kan vi godt blive lidt kyniske.
Skeptisk. Be a little bit suspicious of people.
Og lidt mistænksom over for andre.
And it happens so easily.
Og det sker så let.
One of my favorite leadership writers, his name is Patrick Lencioni.
En af mine favoritforfattere inden for lederskab, han hedder
Patrick Lencioni.
Ja.
He wrote this book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Ja, han har skrevet en bog der hedder De fem dysfunktioner i et team.
The first dysfunction always is trust.
Den første handler altid om tillid.
You can't go any further unless there is some level of trust.
Man kan ikke bevæge sig videre hvis ikke der er et niveau af tillid.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say.
Nu våger jeg det ene ben og siger.
That many of the difficulties we have in the public arena right now.
At rigtig mange af de udfordringer vi har på det offentlige område for tiden.
Because of a lack of trust.
Det handler om mangel på tillid.
All of these polarizing opinions about things.
Alle de her polariserede meninger om ting.
Conspiracy theories, how the government handled corona, about gun control in the USA.
Konspirationsteorier om hvordan regeringen håndterede corona, om våbenregulering i USA.
If you boil it down to one missing factor.
Hvis du koger det ned til én faktor der mangler.
Is lack of trust.
Så det er tillid, mangel på tillid.
And even if we are struggling with basic trust in our life.
Og selvom vi kæmper med mangel på den basale tillid.
If we're not aware of it. We run the risk of living in distrust.
Hvis ikke vi er opmærksom på det, så risikerer vi at leve i en tilstand af mistillid.
We become vulnerable to all kinds of deceptions.
Og vi bliver sårbare over for alle mulige former for bedrag, tak.
A little bit of an honest story this morning.
Vi skal få en ærlig historie her til morgen.
For me, I used to consider myself a very trusting person.
Jeg plejede at se mig selv som meget sådan tillidsværdig person.
But a few years into moving to Denmark, I caught myself.
Men et par år efter jeg var flyttet til Danmark, så opdagede jeg.
Struggling to trust people.
At jeg havde problemer med at stole på mennesker.
I don't know why, outside of my comfort zone or.
Jeg ved ikke om det var fordi jeg var ude af det trygge, af mine trygge rammer eller hvad det var.
It's something that I've had to work through.
Men det er noget jeg har skulle arbejde med.
I don't know. I'm outside of my natural habitat.
Jeg var uden for min naturlige, der hvor jeg naturligt trives.
But I can point to one very clear experience.
Men jeg kan i hvert fald pege på en meget tydelig oplevelse.
You see, me moving to Denmark with my family was a 7-year process.
Inden jeg flyttede til Danmark med min familie, så var det faktisk en proces der havde varet 7 år.
Early into my ministry in Australia, I knew we were called to live here and minister in Europe.
Tidligt i min tjeneste i Australien, der vidste jeg, at vi var kaldet til Europa for at tjene.
Quite a long buzz period, actually.
Det var faktisk en meget lang spændingsperiode.
We were really excited about it.
Og vi var meget glade for det.
But around the time of when we were moving,
men omkring det tidspunkt, vi skulle flytte,
I got invited to speak at a youth rally.
Så blev jeg inviteret til at tale til et ungdomsarrangement.
And there was a little bit of a miscommunication around what was to be shared and all that kind of stuff.
Og der var sådan en miskommunikation omkring, hvad var det, jeg skulle dele.
And apparently,
og åbenbart,
I made a significant mistake.
Så begik jeg en temmelig afgørende fejl.
I did everything wrong.
Jeg gjorde alt forkert.
I preached on the wrong topic.
Jeg prædikede om det forkerte emne.
I apparently broke all of their rules about what you were meant to do on the platform.
Jeg brød alle regler om hvad man gør på scenen.
And it wasn't until later.
Og det var faktisk først senere.
I was on the phone with an angry pastor.
Hvor jeg havde en vred præst i telefon.
Who was really mean.
Og han var rigtig led.
Really harsh.
Og han var hård ved mig.
And said a lot of threatening things.
Og han truede mig.
You know, Denmark is a small place.
Danmark er et lille sted.
And reputation travels.
Og ens rygte rejser med.
And you should know that if you don't do the right thing in one church, the other pastors are going to hear about it.
Og du skal bare vide, hvis du gør noget forkert i en kirke, så hører de andre præster om det.
And no matter what I said, it was an honest mistake. I had no idea that you were expecting this.
Og jeg sagde, det var en fejl. Jeg anede ikke, I havde forventet noget andet.
But that didn't help.
Men det hjalp ikke.
I quickly found out that there were some events in some of the churches that I had been excluded or cancelled from preaching at.
Og jeg fandt ud af, at der faktisk var nogle begivenheder, nogle arrangementer, hvor jeg blev ekskluderet og fjernet fra talerlisten.
And that broke my heart.
Og det knuste mit
hjerte. And it broke my trust.
Og det knuste også min tillid.
And so I spent the next couple of years preaching in other countries.
Så de næste par år, den brugte jeg på at prædike i andre lande.
And in not so much in Denmark.
Men ikke så meget i Danmark.
Because I thought, I don't know if I can work with Danish pastors.
Fordi jeg tænkte, jeg ved jo ikke om jeg kan arbejde med danske præster.
I don't know if it's ever going to work out here.
Jeg ved ikke om det nogensinde kommer til at fungere der.
I was upset with God and with people.
Jeg var vred på Gud og på mennesker.
Until one day.
Indtil en dag.
I said yes to go preach in another church in another part of Denmark.
Hvor jeg sagde ja til at prædike i en anden kirke i en anden del af Danmark.
And I believe inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Og jeg tror på at det var inspireret af Helligånden.
This pastor put his arm around me.
Fordi præsten han lagde armen om mig.
Said Joel, I just want you to know.
Han sagde Joel, du skal bare vide.
I trust you.
Jeg stoler på dig.
Give us everything you've got.
Giv os alt hvad du har i dig.
Don't hold back.
Du skal ikke holde dig tilbage.
And I believe something broke over my life that
Sunday. Jeg tror på at der var noget der blev brudt der i mit liv.
You see, when you have a vision and a call, whatever it is, there's an excitement.
Fordi når du har en vision og kald og der er al den her spænding.
But it will get challenged.
Men det bliver udfordret.
And it impacts on our relationship with God.
Og det har indflydelse på vores forhold til Gud.
And our relationship with people.
Og vores forhold til andre.
And if we're not aware of it, it can eat away at the trust in our hearts.
Og hvis ikke vi er opmærksom på det, så kan det altså æde den her tillid op i vores hjerter.
We can live in distrust and suspicion.
Og vi kan leve mistillid og mistænkelighed.
Of the very people that God has called us to serve.
På de selv samme mennesker som Gud har kaldt os til at tjene.
But here's the last stage.
Og her er den sidste fase.
If the worship team want to get ready. Is the choice.
Det er valget.
The choice you have.
Det er det valg du har.
You see, Jesus, he was convinced that this lesson was far more about than just healing Lazarus.
Jesus, han vidste godt, at denne her begivenhed handlede om meget mere end blot at helbrede Lazarus.
Even though he got tested in his emotions.
Selvom han blev prøvet i sine følelser.
He made a choice.
Så traf han et valg.
That it was in his father that he trusted.
At det var på hans far han stolede.
That's why he said, Father, thank you for hearing me.
Og det var derfor han sagde, Far, tak fordi du hører mig.
You always hear me.
Du hører mig altid.
To me, that sounds like a choice.
Det lyder som et valg.
God, I know you're there.
Gud, jeg ved du er der.
I know you're hearing me right now.
Og jeg ved du hører mig lige nu.
I'm making a decision to trust in you.
Og jeg træffer den beslutning om at stole på dig.
Despite all of the challenges around me.
På trods af alle udfordringerne omkring mig.
When Mary and Martha were like, Jesus, where are you?
Eller som
where were you?
Som Martha Maria sagde, hvor var du, Jesus?
You missed the deadline.
du gik faktisk, altså du missede lidt timingen i det her.
He was sick and now he's dead.
Han var syg, nu er han død.
Jesus, I know you can do something about sick people.
Jesus, jeg ved du kan gøre noget med syge mennesker.
This is the thing that Jesus knew, right?
Men det var det Jesus han godt vidste.
Yeah, that's fine. But I can also do something about dead people too.
Ja, det er fint, men jeg kan faktisk også godt gøre noget ved de døde.
You just need to trust me that I know something that you don't know.
Stol bare på, at jeg ved noget du ikke ved.
Jesus was teaching them.
Jesus han underviste
dem. That God is listening.
I at Gud han lytter.
He's listening even when you feel overwhelmed.
Han lytter også når vi føler os overvældet.
He was trying to teach them that even death wasn't more powerful than God.
Han prøvede at lære dem, at selv døden ikke er mere magtfuld end Gud.
I love what it says in John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also in me."
Jeg elsker det, der står i Johannes 14:1, hvor der står, "Jeres hjerte må ikke forfærdes. Tro på Gud og tro på mig."
There will be plenty of opportunities for your heart to be troubled.
Der bliver masser af muligheder for os, at vi vil føle os overvældet.
But don't let it.
Men det skal du ikke.
Make a decision that no matter what happens.
Træf en beslutning om, at uanset hvad der sker.
Or how everybody else around you feels.
Og uanset hvordan alle andre omkring dig har det.
Trust.
Så trust. Have tillid.
Trust in God.
Have tillid til Gud.
But what does this mean then for us as a community of believers?
Men hvad betyder det for os som et fællesskab af troende?
Because it's actually a little tricky to find verses on trusting each other.
Fordi det er faktisk lidt svært at finde vers om det at stole på hinanden.
But don't worry, there's a good verse here.
Men bare rolig, der er godt vers.
Because it actually starts with talking about love.
For det starter med at tale om kærlighed.
Because the foundation of trust is actually found in love.
Fordi fundamentet i tillid, det findes i kærlighed.
1 Corinthians, verse 13, 4-7 says, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects." Always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres.
Der står i 1. Korinther 13, 4-7. Kærligheden er tålmodig. Kærligheden er mild. Den misunder ikke. Kærligheden praler ikke. Bilder sig ikke noget ind. Den gør intet usømmeligt. Søger ikke sit eget. Hisser sig ikke op. Bærer ikke nag. Den finder ikke sin glæde i uretten, men glæder sig over sandheden. Den tåler alt, tror alt, håber alt, udholder alt.
In the Danish version I read, it says, "Den er fuld af tillid."
Ja, og i en af oversættelserne står der, kærligheden er fuld af tillid.
It's full of trust.
Fuld af tillid.
So challenges, pain, disappointments, that doesn't have to be the end of our relationships.
Udfordringer og smerter behøver ikke at være inde på vores relationer.
God has other options.
Gud har andre muligheder.
Even if something is dead,
selv når noget er dødt,
he still has the final word.
Så har han stadig det sidste ord.
It's a choice.
Det er et valg.
There's a way to come back.
Der er en måde, hvordan vi kan komme tilbage.
And I'm just preaching what God put on my heart to share.
Og jeg deler bare det med jer, som Gud han har lagt på mit hjerte, at jeg skulle dele.
But maybe there's some people here this morning.
Men måske er der nogen her i formiddag.
Struggle with trust.
Som kæmper med tillid.
I don't know who it is.
Jeg ved ikke hvem.
Maybe you have faith in God.
Måske så har du tro på Gud.
But you find it hard to trust His ways.
Svært ved at have tillid til hans måde at gøre tingene.
Find it hard to trust His timing.
Du er svært ved at have tillid til hans timing.
Maybe.
Og måske.
You find it hard to trust His followers.
Har du svært ved at have tillid til hans følgere?
Trust each other.
Tillid til hinanden.
But God has another option.
Men Gud har en anden mulighed.
That thing is dead and buried.
Det som er død og begravet.
There's resurrection life.
Kan blive oprejst til liv.
Jesus is the redeemer.
Jesus han er den der afslører.
He's the restorer.
Og genopretter.
He's the resurrector.
Og han er den der genopstår.
That's who he is.
Det er den han er.
Can we pray for a moment?
Lad os bede sammen.
We just put our hand on our heart.
Og læg din hånd på dit hjerte.
Holy Spirit.
Helligånd.
Thank you that you're here.
Tak fordi du er her.
Father, you always hear us.
Og far, du hører os altid.
I pray right now that you would just touch our hearts, touch our minds.
Nu beder jeg, at du vil røre ved vores hjerter og vores sind.
I pray you would bring to the surface.
Og her vil du åbenbare.
Anything or anyone. That is a barrier to trusting you.
Alt som kan være en barriere for tillid i os.
God, is there any situation or any conversations that have broken trust?
Og Gud, hvis der er sket noget eller der har været nogle samtaler som har ødelagt tillid.
Let's pray you bring that, Lord.
Jeg beder om at du vil bringe det frem.
Straight to our memory.
Ja, og hjælp os til at huske.
So we can give it to you.
Så vi kan give det tilbage til dig.
God, I pray that you would give us a new courage and a new confidence.
Her giver os nyt mod og ny tillid.
How we meet people.
I den måde vi møder mennesker på.
Lord God, give us wisdom, of course.
Og giver os visdom.
Would you also help us assume the best of each other?
Vil du også hjælpe os til at altid at forvente det bedste af hinanden.
Lord God, so that our fellowship would be full of faith and full of life and full of love.
Så vores fællesskab kan være fyldt med tro og håb.
You restore what is broken.
Og du genopretter det der er brudt.
God, I pray that there would be freedom in this place.
Og her lader der være frihed på det her sted.
Lord God, that there will be no unnecessary judgment.
Og her må der ikke være nogen unødvendige bedømmelser.
But just hearts on fire, full of faith, full of trust.
Men hjerter der brænder og fyldt med håb og fyldt med tro.
Full of optimism about the future.
Og fyldt med optimisme om fremtiden.
Because you've called us your own people.
For du har kaldt os dit folk.
God, we are your children.
Vi er dine børn, Gud.
Lord God, you want a vibrant relationship with us.
Og Gud, du ønsker et levende forhold med os.
But God, you've called us to be together.
Men du har kaldt os til at være sammen.
To be stronger together.
At være stærkere sammen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tak, Jesus.